You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 391. Randall's with me, and joining us over the phone is Matt Freeman from Irish Sports Daily. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. I guess today we wanted to discuss Irish Invasion with you a little bit. That's coming up later this week, and the last couple of years anyway, it's been a pretty big deal for Notre Dame. So, Randall, did you want to kick us off with some thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, obviously Irish Invasion is next Saturday, but Matt's got all the news on that. There's quite a few guys coming in, Matt. Like, who are some guys that or some names that stick out to you that Notre Dame needs to get on campus and have them be involved in Irish Invasion?
In terms of kids not committed, Georgia tight end, he's a 2018 kid, Tommy Trimble. He's coming up. He has a pretty good offer list, and obviously Notre Dame's still kind of looking for a tight end in this class. Probably one of the biggest names is 2018 defensive back Shane Simon. He goes to school with the Adamola twins out in New Jersey. So that's a big visit. He was here earlier this spring, so him getting back on campus is a good thing. And obviously he's projected to play the Rover position, so he'd be a big pickup. And then two kids from Indy, 2018 cornerback DJ Johnson picked up an offer last month, and then 2018 linebacker Cameron McGrone, he also picked up an offer last month, and I think Notre Dame has a very good shot at landing both those kids. And then I guess the kid everybody wants to commit is 2019 defensive tackle Jacob Lacey. He's out of Bowling Green, Kentucky. He's been to campus so many times already. I don't think he's going to commit, but he'd be a very, very nice building block for the 2019 class if they can lock him down sooner than later.
Yeah, and obviously there's guys, some of the commits are coming, and there's some guys with offers, but then there's also guys that don't have offers. Are you expecting a couple offers to get handed out this weekend?
Yeah, there's a couple names to keep an eye on. One is cornerback out of Texas. He went to Brock Wright's High School, Cy Fair, outside of Houston. His name's Eric Howlett. He came up for the spring game and got a good lay of the land, so to speak, and he's very interested. He doesn't have big quote-unquote offers, but he's someone that the staff kind of wants to see run around and just see how he moves and stuff like that. So he could end up getting an offer down the line if he has an impressive showing. And then there's two 2019 receivers. One is Kyren Williams. He's out of Missouri. He's possibly could be like a top 10 receiver in the 2019 class. He already has offers from like Arkansas, Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern, Wisconsin. So he's just kind of looking to get to that next tier. And then maybe one of the most intriguing names in the camp is going to be Craig Young out of Fort Wayne. He's a 219 receiver. He's 6'5", 200 pounds, but he ran a 10.6 in the 100 meters a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, that's a big kid that can move. And then he trains at AWP Sports in Fort Wayne, where, like, all the Notre Dame guys have gone, like Jalen and Tyler Eifert and Drew Tranquil, and they say that he's the best athlete to ever come out of the Fort Wayne area. He's only a sophomore, so if he has an impressive showing, I would expect Notre Dame to kind of offer him sooner than later.
Yeah, I saw that comment about best guy coming through AWP. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they hands down the best athlete to come from AWP, but also Fort Wayne in general. So, I mean, that Fort Wayne's had some really good athletes over the years, so it's saying something.
Yeah. You mentioned the offers. You know, they might not have the top offers at this point, but I don't know about you, but I feel a little bit better about the current staff. I mean, it seems they're recruiting guys early and that maybe don't have those top offers, but I feel more comfortable with, you know, they seem to be ahead of the game and maybe not waiting on Alabama or Ohio State to offer them.
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely expedited their offering process and their recruiting process as a whole a little bit. It's just still hard to offer kids because, I mean, a 219 kid only essentially has 4 semesters of grades right now. So offering any earlier than right about now is kind of a stretch because they would only have 3 semesters pending their grades of the current semester right now. So just kind of getting an academic background is kind of a tough battle for Notre Dame offering the kids earlier. Obviously, they're not they're just verbal offers and they're not locking in them in or anything like that, but it's still not a good look whenever you have to go back on a scholarship offer or something like that. So it's just kind of part of the battle that an institution like Notre Dame battles every year.
So do they, what about the guys, what, there's 2 guys that have 2020 offers. Mm-hmm. I mean, there you basically have no grades.
Yeah, I mean, they have their fall semester, and then, I mean, more than likely Notre Dame doesn't have their spring semester grades right now, because, I mean, they might not even be done with school yet. So, yeah. I mean, you can kind of, obviously, like, if kid projects to be, like, a 5-star or a 4-star or whatever, one of the best players in the country, you can offer them, but, I mean, it's still a risk just because you really don't know how well they're going to do in school.
Yeah, I've got a question for you, Matt. Irish Invasion, how does it compare to past years? Is it pretty much the same thing as what we saw last year, or are there any big changes or differences?
Just in terms of like how they run the camp?
Yeah, in terms of either how it's run or the number of kids that are going to be there.
I mean, in terms of how it's run, there was one change. Normally, it's just a one-day camp, but I guess Notre Dame's having kids that want to stay or need to stay on Sunday night. They're going to have like a type of junior day type of thing, so the kids can tour campus and see the facilities and stuff like that, get time with the staff. And they hadn't done that prior. So I think that's a good adjustment. So if a kid wants to stay overnight and get to know the players and simply just see the school more, they have the opportunity to do that. In terms of the kids coming, I mean, I think it's a little smaller, if at all. I mean, there's still probably going to be 40, 50 kids there. I think the talent level is down quite a bit from previous years, but that's just because of the weekend. I think the Rivals 5-star challenge is in Indianapolis this week, so that eliminates a lot of the elite 2018 and 2019 kids that got invites to that. Because they can't use the money Rival gives them to travel to visit another school. So it wasn't the most ideal weekend for Notre Dame to have the camp, but just one of those scheduling things that comes up.
Is it accurate to say that if they, from what I saw, if they would decide to go on a visit, okay, so it's in Indianapolis and the player would decide to come visit Notre Dame, he would also have to pay his way to the 5-star challenge?
Plus, yeah, I believe so.
Notre Dame, like, they wouldn't get that money from the 5-star challenge to...
Yeah, because, I mean, it's similar to... I mean, it's pretty much the same situation as kids that go out to the opening. They can't visit Oregon if the opening or Nike pays for it. So, it's just unfortunate. Oregon has to deal with that every year, and kind of unfortunate Notre Dame has to deal with that for Irish Invasion. It's just the kids aren't going to turn down a free trip across the country in most cases for thousands of dollars in free Under Armour gear and a chance to just get good exposure on that network. So it's just kind of a unfortunate thing.
I guess positive thing is Notre Dame can tell them they'll get, if they come to Notre Dame, they'll get quite a bit of Under Armour gear as well.
Yeah. I mean, if they like the Under Armour gear, it's a win-win.
Yeah. As far as the guys are kind of for Irish Invasion working out, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I like to see the guys come and actually compete and be a part of the workouts, but often there's, you know, a handful of guys that don't do that and just, you know, ride around in a golf cart or just stand on the sidelines and watch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm torn on that. I think a lot of the kids will work out this year just because it's not an elite list, per se, of kids getting here. a lot of kids that are coming up are trying to earn an offer, trying to get on Notre Dame's radar. So the competition will be pretty stiff, I think. But, I mean, I think some of the kids that in the past haven't worked out, I mean, it's pretty much self-explanatory. I mean, if you're a five-star with 40 offers, I mean, there's really no benefit of you working out just because you're going to get matched up against some local kid that's not even going to play Division III football, and they're going to go all out to try to beat the five-star. Yeah. And, I mean, that just leads to the possibility of injuries and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, if I was a five-star, I probably wouldn't even work out at the camp.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, that does make sense. It's kind of like Notre Dame's football program as a whole. I mean, everybody's giving Notre Dame their best shot. So if they go up against.
I was kind of thinking, it's kind of like Notre Dame playing Navy, but I know they'll get a reaction from.
I mean, it sucks because you definitely want to see, like, last year, like, Baron Browning work out or Houston Griffith. But, I mean, at the same time, it's their future, and the last thing they need to do is come down on a knee wrong in a camp at a school that they already have an offer from. So
true. One more question: do you kind of have a? Do you think there'll be any commitments this weekend? Are you throwing a number out there? You're not going that far.
I mean, there could be like DJ Johnson or Cameron McGrown. It just kind of depends on how comfortable they feel. I mean, both of them have been to Notre Dame, and obviously with Marquise Stepp in their ear as a fellow Indianapolis kid. I mean, Notre Dame is going to be hard to beat. And then, I mean, I'm not sure if there's another offer Cam McGrone's really even looking for at this point. I mean, you can say Ohio State, but they already have two of the top five linebackers in the country. So I don't think that Ohio State's in a position to really start offering linebackers because they're in a great position. So, I mean, he may shut it down and commit, but I'd say those two are the best ones. And then after that, I mean, Shane Simon might, but I think he might want to take a couple of visits to other schools before he makes his final decision.
Yeah, one of the first things I think about when we talk about Irish Invasion and linebackers, Justin Hilliard, was that two years ago? He rode around on a golf cart, and Notre Dame was doing everything to try to get him to commit. But I think last year, there was a couple commitments, but it wasn't on the weekend. It was like after, like the next week, the days following, there was quite a few.
Yeah, I think Jordan Pouncey committed immediately afterwards. But yeah, I mean, I think most of the commitments of the kids that were at Invasion last year were after the camp or after everybody went home. So
yeah. Well, and we talked a little bit about it before the podcast. We have to mention it since you're a Cavs fan. But what's your prediction for the Cavs and the Warriors at this point?
I
know Mike gives you a hard time on his podcast.
It's Cleveland's Believe Land, so you gotta believe until they lose a home game. So game three will be clutch, and I mean, hopefully KD and Steph and Clay just have an off night for the next four or five games. So
yeah,
the last couple of years, you know, the series have kind of been decided by injury, and I hope that isn't the case. I hope both teams stay healthy, and just for pure enjoyment, I do hope it goes at least six games. But I'm definitely rooting for the Warriors.
No, I would greatly appreciate it going to six games at least, because I have a good chance of going to game six in Cleveland if that's the case.
Oh, nice.
Granted, it would be tragic if Golden State won that game. But I would like to get to a finals game, but right now it's looking kind of bleak.
Yeah. But I wouldn't mind the team as much. It's just, for me, it's just so hard to cheer for a team from Ohio. So.
No, I hear you. But, I mean, the Cavs are the one team from Ohio that you can cheer for. So.
Yeah. Last year, I wanted the Warriors to win, but I was kind of glad that the Cleveland got a championship for a small market team, because I'm a Pacers fan, and, you know, it's hard for the small market team. You know, everybody wants to go to L.A. and...
Yeah, the Pacers just need LeBron to retire, because I mean that's the only way that they're winning a championship.
Well, I'm afraid you're right, Matt. Yeah, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. Where should people go to read your work?
They can just go to IrishSportsDaily.com, and everything's there. We got some good recruiting stuff coming this week, obviously, and then Jamie Uyama is really good with the X's and O's and kind of breaks down the game and specific players, and we're kind of doing that right now, getting through the summer, so you can learn about each guy on the roster, their strengths and weaknesses, and of course the commits and recruits too. He breaks that down really well, so definitely come over to Irish Sports Daily and check that out.
Okay, it's always good, Matt, to have you on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
And yeah, it's been a while.
Hopefully your Cavs will at least pick up a win, so it won't be a sweep, because I think that'd be pretty bad.
If it goes 4 or 5, like we talked about, Paul George coming to Cleveland, oh, I will take it. I will gladly sacrifice the finals for a couple more rings in the future.
If it means Paul George staying at Indiana, then I will start rooting for the Cavs to win this thing.
Yes.
All right. Hey, thanks again, Matt, and wish you the best.
Yep, thanks.
All right, guys, we're back to talk a little bit transfers and some other Notre Dame-related news. And I guess let's start with what we missed last week. Josh Barajas is transferring from Notre Dame to Illinois State, and that was on a few days after we recorded the podcast, Tuesday or Wednesday. And he'll be, he won't need to sit out. He'll be going to Illinois State, which is an FCS school. He'll be able to play. And the coaches like what they see in him at Illinois State, mentioning that he could. They're looking for someone who can rush the passer, but also play in space. So, definitely, don't you think he'll be able to get some playing time? I think
so. I don't know. He was expected to play at Notre Dame, and he never did. So, that was one thing we often talk about. We should have mentioned that we were never that impressed when we went to his high school game, but we just figured as an amateur, we didn't know what we were looking for. But, you know, obviously he had a good highlight. I mean, he had good stuff going for him. It was just a bad night for a game. But he never had a chance to play at Notre Dame. He's always hindered by something. We've talked about that. He was sick at the wrong time.
Overweight when he got
wrong kind of weight gain.
When he got to school. But yeah, wish him the best. I do hope that he's able to, get some playing time and play a sport that he...
I always hope we get to see him at Notre Dame just because we kind of had a little bit of a connection with him being close to South Bend. And but I'll be excited to see what he can do at Illinois State. I think he'll go in there. He'll definitely be competing right away. I have no idea what their team looks like. I don't know if I've ever watched Illinois State. Well, hang on. They've had a good team. Actually, never mind. I'm thinking of Northern Illinois. So there's too many teams in Illinois. But I think he should be able to go in and compete for a job right away. Some other news. Obviously, there's news out there about Tristan Hodge potentially transferring, but that has not been announced by anybody, and so
it hasn't been confirmed by Notre Dame, but some sites have been announcing it or stating it.
From some sources, it sounds like the family isn't too happy about it, but we'll see what happens with that. They'll probably announce it right after we're done recording the podcast. But anyways, that's kind of a surprise. Tristan Hodge, just looking at what, you know, when he was a recruit, remember he had his truck painted with Notre Dame? I forget, it was the tailgate and what all. It was a Notre Dame themed truck, and his parents bought a house in South Bend. And so, you know, he was always in that conversation of next guy in. You know, he was close to playing time, but just never quite got it. I think the guy that will benefit the most from this might be like a guy like Parker Boudreaux or somebody, because they were kind of
at that next level.
About as centers on this team, and centers and guards. So anyways, the Malik Zaire finally decided, or it's official now, he's going to Florida. It was officially announced. We talked about it last week. That's probably where he ended up, but that's where he is going. He did send out a tweet soon after the SEC ruled that they changed that rule. I'm not sure if it was just for him, but they made the exception because they have, it's so ridiculous the SEC has these rules to keep guys from coming to the SEC because of grades and so on, when we know the history of the SEC and their grades. But it did go through, and Malik Zaire just tweeted out and said, let's go. So he's supposedly going to be at Florida on Wednesday, He did talk with Bruce Feldman from Fox, and he said that he's planning to go down there on Wednesday. Let me see. And get settled in with new team. Supposedly, according to Bruce Feldman, this is Zaire's trip. He said Zaire's trip to Gainesville this week will be the first time he's ever been to the University of Florida. So, it might be in for a surprise. I've been to the campus there.
He'll be competing with a handful of other quarterbacks, two freshmen, Felipe Franks, Kyle Trask, and then their starter from last year, Luke Del Rio, who's also a transfer. He's a redshirt junior, but he is coming off some surgeries.
Surgery on both his shoulders, and he's kind of been everywhere in his career, kind of bounced around. So it looks the what was the first one you mentioned? Felipe?
Felipe Franks.
I think he's the one that was kind of the leader coming out of the spring game, but with Zaire, the thing you have to remember though is you talk about Zaire being experienced. He hasn't played in that many games.
I know.
He actually doesn't have that much experience, but he's been in college football for a long time now, and he was the starter.
He won't be lacking any confidence. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, we heard that when he joined the podcast a couple weeks ago. And going into the 2015 season, he was the starter. Everybody knew it. They practiced. He was practicing as a starter of the team, so he knows how it is to be the guy on the team. And he's going to have some tough games this year, which is good for him. If he can make it through there, it'll help his draft stock. Yes. You know, he always wants to go to the NFL. And this is obviously the best way to do it, is to go against good competition. That's much better than if he would have gone to, you know, Illinois State. You know, he might have done good, but it wouldn't necessarily helped his draft size. So this is the best way. I think he knows he's got 1 year to prove it, and he's going against some of the best competition out there. So I'll be excited to watch Florida.
The first round of competition, though, will be getting that starting job. Yeah. And then after that, going against SEC defense.
True. We know he's not from before being at Notre Dame, he's not necessarily the best practice player. He shines when the lights are on. So hopefully he'll get that chance, and I'll be excited to watch Florida.
You'll give me a reason to watch it. And I've kind of been a closet Florida fan the last 7 or 10 years.
We'll root for him to knock off Alabama. So, anyways.
Was there any more recruiting news, Randall?
Yeah, a little bit. There was about 3 offers that went out last week. One 2018 offer to Deion Smith, the 3-star running back out of Houston, Texas, 5'11", 177. And then there's a 2019 offer to Hunter Spears, 4-star strong side defensive end out of Sachse, Texas, and 6'4", 267, so a big kid defensive end. And then the second 2020 offer went out, Porter Rooks, wide receiver out of Charlotte, North Carolina, 6'1", 180. So obviously things have slowed down since the coaches have come back from their spring recruiting. And then the biggest news, I guess, would be Jamian Franklin is defensive tackle from North Carolina, and he is announcing his decision tomorrow. And he is expected to pick Notre Dame. I mean, crystal ball's even at 100%, and everybody expects him to pick Notre Dame. He's a 6'1", 315-pound defensive tackle. And originally he was going to announce in July, I think it was July 1st, but then that weekend is the opening finals, and he was invited to that. So he moved it up, and he moved it up quite a bit, which is definitely in Notre Dame's favor. And I'm included. I expect him to sign or announce for Notre Dame tomorrow on Tuesday at 12 o'clock. So if you're interested in that, he'll be announcing on Tuesday at 12 o'clock Eastern time. So it's been a little while since Notre Dame got a commitment, but with Irish Invasion coming up, and maybe he can start things off to a big weekend. That's about all I got for recruiting. The only other news, if you're interested in all the magazines out there with the 2017 football previews, Josh Adams got the regional cover for Lindy's Sports. But there's a Notre Dame player in about every magazine you get. EQ's got a couple. I got the Athlon ones. Josh Adams is on that as well as you know, of course, there's an Ohio State player, Alabama, Washington, Florida State. But
what's great is when a Notre Dame player is on the cover of the Big Ten regional. Remember that one year?
Yes. Who was it?
I don't remember which magazine it was. I don't remember.
But yeah, it was on the Big Ten. You gotta like that. So,
all right, I don't have anything else, so we'll wrap it up. I guess if major news breaks before Monday, we might do maybe a midweek podcast. But plans are to wait until after the opening, then have another podcast on Monday
after Irish Invasion.
Or what did I say?
The opening.
Yeah, I meant Irish Invasion.
I'll just throw this out there on our Instagram page and go follow that, because I did start posting the countdown. Since we're under 100 days, I've been posting a picture of the player that goes with the number of days left. So I think I got the days numbered right now. So anyways, go follow our Instagram page, Irish Sports Talk. And yeah, that's all I got. All
right. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.